Okay, and let's rejoin our guest, the remarkable Dr. Ernest L. Martin. And we're talking about 2,000 years ago, a little over that, and what we may have seen in the skies. Again, certainly astronomers know how to reconstruct the heavens at that time. They've done it. It's no mystery. So you think that Herod perhaps died, at least someone else postulated, he may have died with a full lunar eclipse in January.
That's correct, a 1 BC. And that's almost certainly the case. In actual fact, Josephus mentioned a number of events that took place between Herod's death and that Passover, and in no way could you include all of those events in the period after the 13th of March, 4 BC.
Uh-huh.
But with the one in January leading up to the springtime Passover, you've got about 84 days, and it just fits perfectly, Jeff. Everything makes perfectly good sense from the historical record.
Boy, Josephus would shake your hand if he could.
I think he would. One of these days I hope to do that, but that's not going to be right now, I don't think.
All right. Well, I'm sure he's watching somewhere. He did us a great service, this man.
Oh, he did. And, you know, Professor Mazar, the gentleman I was talking about that I worked with down there in Jerusalem, he started out very skeptical as far as the writings of Josephus were concerned. But he told me personally, and we were great friends, he said, every year my respect for Josephus grew and grew and grew. And now, just before his death, about 3 years ago, at 91 years of age, he said that his respect for Josephus as a historian was number one now.
Wow.
And I agree with him.
That's remarkable. Okay.
It really, what we need to do, Jeff, is to read what he says. The problem is that we've been using figures and numbers and architectural statements by Josephus and applying them to the wrong buildings.
Got it.
That's the problem right
Got
there.
It. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So the
now,
sky.
As far as Herod was concerned, he was, if he died in January, then that allows the historian to look at 2 BC or 3 BC for the birth of Jesus, because Herod was alive when Jesus was born, because after all, the Magi or the wise men gave their gifts to, wanted to give them to Herod, and then he was certainly alive at the time. So Jesus could have been born in 2 to 3 BC. Now, with that clue, I then looked up the what was happening in the heavens to get a little bit more information of why Matthew seemed to be very interested in the star. And when I really saw what was going on from August 3 BC to January of 1 BC, I tell you, it was staggering to see the splendor that was actually happening in the heavens. I mean, dealing with the sun, the moon, the chief planets, particularly Jupiter and Venus, within the background of the fixed stars. And even knowing a little bit about the astrological interpretations, which were rampant in the time of Augustus Caesar in the first century, people believed in those things much more than even we do today.
Well, animal,
highest level.
Yeah, they also believed in animal entrails and all the rest of it.
They did too. Well, yes, I'm afraid they did. But on the other hand, these magi came a long distance to be able to give these gifts, and they were accepted by Herod as being legitimate.
Okay.
Now, the point is, if we can see what was happening there in the heavens, at that time, and you can see this in a planetarium show, even the novice, I mean, most of us are not astronomers, but when you see what was actually occurring, particularly with the planet Jupiter as it came in contact with Venus, and the 17th of June in 2 BC, those two planets came together as viewed from the Earth, where they actually touched one another. A most unusual circumstance. And all of that took place in the constellation of Leo the Lion. And we know that the sign of Judah in the astrological biblical account is Leo the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And, of course, Christ is even called that. Jupiter, the king planet, in that year came in contact with Regulus, the king's star, which was also in Leo. And three different times it circled over it. Now, I'm giving you a type of a non-professional a manner of describing it, like a halo in a sense. And I illustrate this in my book, that anyone living at the time would say something of royalty is being introduced into the world. And at the time that the Magi came, which was in 2 BC, and to Jerusalem, that planet Jupiter, annually it comes to what is called a progression and recession, where it, by the motion of the Earth around the Sun and also Jupiter around, Jupiter tends to stand still in a certain section of the sky for a while. And remember how Matthew said the star, which could be a planet, stood still over the city of Bethlehem?
Yeah.
It's most remarkable. Astronomers would see in ordinary lay person's language what was happening. Jupiter actually came mid-bodied to Virgo the Virgin at the winter solstice in 2 BC. And I mean right in the tummy area of her body, as seen in the heavens.
And people used to look, and I've made this point before, people used to look to the heavens every night. They would marvel that the heavens to them were not a one-dimensional backdrop. They were a living organism.
Oh, you're so right. Isn't it true? You know, we have so many lights around us today that
even see it,
when you go outside in the country, you can hardly see the heavens anymore.
Now, they were just an amazing panorama of drama, life, death, the whole thing. No TV, no computers. They looked upward, and that was that night
how
sky.
And how majestic and spectacular.
Yeah.
That 3 to 2 BC period, Jeff, you have to go to a planetarium to see it. I remember that when I was with Mr. Mosley, the planetarium director at Griffith Observatory in 1980, when we had accumulated all of this evidence together, we made a trial run at the planetarium where the planetarium staff were there. This was in the afternoon, not one of the regular shows, but it was reconstructed back to that period of time.
Uh-huh.
And only the professionals were there. There were about 50 of us, some historians and mostly astronomers. And when the planetarium instrument began to point out what was happening in August of 3 BC, and then progressively through that year into 2 BC, et cetera, down to 1 BC, it was just oohs and ahs all the time by this highly professional astronomical audience.
Fascinating, fascinating. Hold on right there. I can just imagine what it was like. Jaws slack. Just people agog at what they were seeing. This is amazing. Remarkable piece of detective work and science. And we'll continue with Dr. Ernest L. Martin in just a couple minutes. Don't forget the address again to write for his books, ASK, P.O. Box 25,000, Portland, Oregon, 97298. That's ASK, the Associates for Scriptural Knowledge, P.O. Box 25,000, Portland, 97298, books by Dr. Ernest L. Martin.